The pursuit of happiness, that's usually regarded as something desirable and positive. But that may be a dangerous thing, the pursuit of happiness. You may be missing something in that pursuit. That's already here. Pursuit implies, of course, that you are seeking it. Where is it? It implies that you are looking for a state, a desirable state, that lies somewhere in the future. And that becomes a pattern built into the very structure of the human mind, the seeking pattern. The mindset, the collective mindset, that is always looking to the next thing, the next moment, in the hope that happiness will be found there, or that I will find a more complete version of myself there. That's a very normal thing to be doing. The bank robber does that because he's not interested in the money, but what promise the money holds, he may believe that it will liberate him, provide freedom, freedom of movement, enhance his sense of self. Happiness . And it could be there in the spiritual seeker too, who is looking for the answer, some state that one has read about, enlightenment perhaps, that will finally provide lasting happiness. So both the bank robber, to take one extreme on the evolutionary scale, and the spiritual seeker are still manifesting the human seeking mode. And that is so normal for most human beings to be in the seeking mode that to many it hasn't even occurred that they are in the seeking mode, or that a different state of consciousness is possible. And wherever you watch television, the media, films, almost everybody you watch is in that seeking mode. The news reader, always, they are not at ease with the present moment, because the present moment is regarded as insufficient. Underlying that is the belief that I am not yet enough. That's a very deep-seated thing. I am not yet enough, and so I am not happy. I can only be happy if I have finally arrived at that sense of completion within myself, where I feel I am now fully myself. Surely nothing else will bring me lasting happiness than finding myself. fully, being myself fully. So the bank robber seeks that through the money. And all throughout civilization, people are seeking this, that, or the other, ultimately in a search for a more complete version of themselves, an enhanced sense of who I am, because that sense of who I am in most humans is deficient. You can notice that it is deficient, if you only even imagine that somebody tells you you haven't got much longer to live, would be the most dreadful shock, because you would feel, but I haven't arrived yet, but I'm not complete yet, surely I need more time. The most precious thing, the one thing that I need to complete myself, find that deep, lasting happiness and peace, to find that, the one thing I need is more time. And so that you then trapped in a state of consciousness that we could call time-bound, where whatever you do is governed by the notion of time. And unless you are very old, it will usually be future that is of the greatest importance to you, the time ahead of you. As you get older, the time behind you, as the time ahead of you shrinks, the time behind you, there seems to be more of that, more past, and then in older people, the past assumes a greater importance. They remember it. They're looking for themselves through memory of me and my past, what happened to me, and think about it and talk about it. That is quite normal, because future has shrunk. But some old people, they don't seem to have realized yet that there may not be that much future left, so they're still looking to enhance themselves through more. This little word more is so vital if we want to discover the inner pattern that is perhaps one of the most great, the most pronounced characteristic of that state of consciousness that I believe is now coming to an end on the planet, the state in which you are identified, which means you derive your sense of self, your sense of identity from a mentally constructed image, a conceptualized me. Memories, conditioned patterns, experiences, all kinds of identifications which become thoughts, make up a bundle of thoughts and emotions that accompany those thoughts, and that mentally created bundle becomes a sense of self, a me. And it is that mind-made me, a story, my story, my history, it is that most humans derive your sense of self from. I am my story. And that sense of self is always seeking. It is a characteristic of that sense of self that it is in the seeking mode and it exists in a state of not enough. And that's an amazing realization that most humans, although many are now moving beyond that state of consciousness, but on the planet, most humans are still trapped in that state of consciousness where their sense of identity feels incomplete. I am not fully myself. So the belief then, to a large extent unconscious, is if I could only be more, then I finally will arrive at self-completion. Myself will be complete. So the need for more becomes overriding in one's daily existence. More to add to who I think I am, to me. What does that mean? To a child where this is already starting, this mind movement, the formation of a mind-made sense of self, to a child, it begins when a child claims possession of something. And every young child does that. And this child will scream if you take away the toy. In very deep pain already. Nothing much, and it's not probably even taken away. Somebody just picked it up to look at it. And it's enough for the child to scream, "It's mine!" And that scream remains in most humans. It may not be when they reach adulthood. The scream may not be, you can't hear it anymore, but it's often inside. So what does it, and this is only where it begins. This is one thing where the child already feels, I have been diminished in my sense of self, because that toy has been taken away. What has happened? The simple thing that has happened is the toy, of course, became a thought form. It's not the toy out there, it's the thought form of my toy. And the little word my is essential here, because then I have invested the thought form of toy with a sense of self. And that's a collective, we are all collectively conditioned to do that. So this is just the early beginning of a huge development of mind movements where the I seeks to add more thought forms that it can invest with a sense of self. And so it is looking out for more of me. So to a child then, that's one thing. And then the child identifies with whatever it can incorporate into its sense of self. So this is the growing egoic entity, and this, it seems, that needs to happen to every human being. We cannot tell a child, no, this is not your toy, there is no such thing as possession, let go of that thought. It doesn't work. You have to allow the child compassionately to go through that. It's the beginning of delusion, we could say, yes. And then it goes on, and then you can see how the child begins to suffer through identifying more and more with that self and fearing that something that I regard as me, one will be removed from me. And then the child grows and the toy becomes the car, mine. And other possessions may come, this is one level. Then other levels of identifications come, what other people think of me, other people's opinion of me can become more valuable than a possession. It's only just a thought form, but I can hang on to that. And it can then cling to the bundle of thought forms and reactive patterns that go with it and emotions that accompany it, this me. Oh, they think I'm great. So many people think they will find themselves through enhanced recognition by others. Maybe when others will recognize how great I am, then I will have found myself. So there's this the striving for self, being fully myself, can take the form of that, needing the recognition. And this could take you to the end of your life, especially if you don't get it. Or striving to have wealth, it could take you to the end of your life, especially if you don't get it. If you get it, then you discover the strange thing that it doesn't complete you. I'd still feel I'm not enough. That wasn't it. I've got all the things that I thought would complete me, and there's still. And then comes the critical stage. The suffering that is there whenever you have not really found yourself, the suffering that is built into the very structure of that mind-made identity, because suffering is that sense of lack, that sense of not enough, and that sense of fear, that's underlies that state of consciousness. And so, you've made it in the eyes of the world, and yet it doesn't seem to have worked. If you haven't made it, you can be stuck in the illusion for longer, until the very end, and then create an identity. Your story then changes into somebody who hasn't made it. And then the story will seek explanations why the world is so unfair, has treated you so badly, that it prevented you from being fully yourself. They did something to me. Whether you identify them individually, or whether they are the collective, or whether they are a political party, or whatever, they... And that is another thought forms that will then supply you with a sense of self. And that's quite satisfying too, temporarily. At least now you think you know who you are. You are the one who has been treated unfairly by life. Okay. So you are trapped one way or another in a conceptualized sense of self, a me. And it's not enough. And if you make it, everybody tells you you should be happy now. And you feel that pain, that sense of lack. And some start drinking then or take drugs just to dull the pain that they feel. There are famous people, we all have read about them, who were very unhappy, very deeply unhappy. The illusion has been removed from them that the future will complete them, because surely they have everything already. How can the future complete me? I can't think of anything else. And when you arrive there, you can go into despair and drugs, and so just to dull the pain, or you suddenly see the fiction of the self, that the entire culture is immersed in and tells you this is how it is. And you suddenly see this is not. And then you might become interested in going beyond that. Going beyond a conceptualized me in the head. And you realize that happiness on that level cannot be found. The illusion of happiness, yes, many times you will think, there it is, I have it now. I'm complete. I'm getting married tomorrow. All my shares have gone up by 100%. I'm complete. Or I've become a master at this or that, playing the violin, the computer, the greatest computer wizard in the world. I have abilities that nobody else has. I can throw a ball better than anybody else. And so they pay me millions just to throw this ball once a week. And everybody thinks I'm the greatest. I'm the great example to everybody. They construct an identity for me out of the ability to throw this ball, and I buy into that for a while, I actually believe that I am the greatest ball thrower. And it's myself. And then after a while, that wears off because it's a fiction. It's a conceptualized entity in the head. And the fact that it is in millions of other heads doesn't change the fact that it's a delusion, a fiction. So the pursuit of happiness is undertaken by the conceptualized entity, the me. It is seeking more of me. Amazing. That is one level of consciousness. That is the level of consciousness that has dominated the planet for as long as humans can remember, since recorded history and far beyond that. And it is a dangerously dysfunctional state in many ways, because that neediness expresses itself in many ways that create enormous amount of suffering to others around you and to yourself. The need for more is the need for having an enhanced sense of self, and that is not only personal, it's collective too. When that same mindset becomes a collective mindset, the me becomes an us. That's even more mad than the personal. And it creates dreadful suffering. It has done so throughout history. The need of nations and religions and tribes to enhance their sense of identity through, strangely enough, being in conflict with others. They are actually seeking conflict. You can see it whether you look at this on a personal level or whether you look at it on the level of the collective. There seems to be the need to be in conflict with something or someone. If there were not this need, why would human history look the way it is? Look at the 20th century. Hell created on a planet that potentially is a paradise. Humans create their own hell. And they do it collectively, and they do it on a personal level. There are many humans, not just in places where there's shortage of food, they create the hell in many different ways, even in so-called prosperous countries. If you look into the individual human being, many of them carry their own heaviness, their own hell inside, their relationships, at work, and they might look happy on the surface. So much suffering on the planet. Human created suffering. So the entity, the conceptualized me, is condemned to seeking more. It's condemned not to be happy, not to be at ease. The structure of that mind-made self does not allow it. So unhappiness is actually built into the structure of the egoic mindset. It is not ultimately to do with the content of your life, the reasons why I am unhappy. They are interchangeable. So there is the need for more to enhance me, the me that is never complete, the story of me that hasn't quite worked the way it was supposed to work up till now. There are not many humans who feel that the story has gone very well indeed, the story of me. And if there are some, all you have to do is wait a little. And then the incompleteness returns, the sense of incompleteness. And people believe this is their personal problem. Everybody else seems to be okay except me. The sense, this is built into the very structure of that conceptualized identity. Its need for more, its need for conflict in order to enhance its separate sense of existence. This is the me, and this is the other. Now I need to get a strong sense of me. If I can be in conflict with something or someone, it enhances my sense of self. Or if I can take something away from another, in my delusion, I believe that that will also enhance my sense of self. And that could be just a thought form that I'm trying to take away from somebody through making a remark that diminishes the sense of self of another person. I question anything that that person identifies with as not good. Your car is no good. This dress would look good on your sister. Little remarks, all these, they are unconsciously designed to diminish another person's sense of self. They don't know what they are doing, and they believe if they can diminish somebody else's sense of self, they have enhanced their own sense of self a little bit. All that it means is the illusion of me has grown a little. So all you have enhanced is the illusion. But to the illusion, it feels great for a little while. And so it can become extremely greedy. The need for more is incessant. We see that the same egoic entity becomes collective in a corporation. We've read about these things recently, and we were surprised to see how greedy these big corporations are. Their whole reason for being seems to be to accumulate more. Perhaps in some cases the people at the top didn't even forgot what they manufactured. It was, and it didn't matter anymore what, except we need more, more.